no compromise. Surrender is not an option in the Christian faith. Thank you for your straightforward, truthful message we call the gospel, the word of the living God. Thank you for God-fearing people that have a spiritual backbone, that are willing to take a stand when necessary and speak when necessary what is right and righteous and truthful of the Word of God. It just seems like, Father, there's some hard times coming, just like you said. You predicted it. So we would prepare for it. Thank you for that. Compromise. Can't stand it. You get personally upset over it, you say. And you don't like it. And you will deal with it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So help us to face the great temptation of compromise. And also to not surrender, but to be the soldier of the Lord that we are called to be. It's really not hard to do. When we think of the price you paid on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough to instill boldness, holy boldness in us as your children. No matter the odds, no one is greater than you. And what we do, we will do all for your glory, that people may see the glory of God demonstrated, displayed, how beautiful it is, how powerful it is. We love you and we thank you so much for loving us. Open up the Word of God to us here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your printout as we begin this morning. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. You'll notice the title, The Doctrine of Balaam and Its Infectious Reach. If you have your Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. You want to know how serious God takes compromise? You're about to read it. I hope it scares you to death. I hope it brings the information we're about to read in a way that is easily understood. Because I will tell you as we begin to read, God hates compromise. And I don't think that is a strong enough word. Hate. He is personally disturbed by it. In fact, he was so disturbed, he acted on it. Numbers 25, here we go. Israel settled and remained in Shittim, and the people began to play the prostitute with the women of Moab by being unfaithful to God. For they invited the Israelites to the sacrifice of their little gods. And the Israelites ate food offered to idols and bowed down to Moab's gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor in worship. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people who have committed sin with the Moabites and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses, verse 5, said to the judges of Israel, each one of you must kill his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor in worship. Then one of the Israelites came and presented to his relatives a Midianite woman, a prostitute, a whore. In the sight of Moses and the whole congregation of the Israelites, while they were weeping over God's judgment at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that is the tabernacle. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through the body, the man of Israel and the woman. Then the plague on the Israelites stopped. Now, verse 8, you know what it's saying? If he had not went into the tent and killed this man and this woman, God would have wiped out the whole nation of Israel over compromise with other gods. And that's small, G-O-D-S. Nevertheless, verse 9, those Israelites who died in the plague numbered 24,000. You might want to underline that one too. Here's a little note you might want to make. After reading verse 6, what would once cause you to blush, you now take pride in. What would once cause you to blush, you now take pride in. This was a very open and bold sin in the eyes of God. And God says, I'll not look the other way. I must deal with the sin of compromise. And I have news for you. This God that dealt with it then will deal with it today. He has not changed. So there's one thing you can say about the living God. He cannot stand compromise, especially in the life of His children. Let's begin with the introduction. Have you ever heard the story of the guy who could not decide what side he wanted to fight for during the Civil War? He put on the coat of the North and trousers of the South, and guess what? He got shot at from both sides. And this is what happens to the compromiser, the person who tries to live in two worlds. It's one miserable place to be. Well, let's begin reading, and you'll notice that first word is Satan. So let's define Satan. Let's describe Satan. I want you to know who he is. Satan, he hates. The word hates here, if you look it up, refers to great hostility, intense dislike, a supernatural, long-standing animosity. Satan, you can nearly hear the hiss of the snake when you say his name, Satan. Satan hates you, the believer, in Jesus Christ, and that is putting it mildly. He hates you. He accuses you. He slanders you. He conspires against you. He is your enemy. His intellect is greater than your intellect. He is supernatural. So is his power. And his demonic army is well organized. Back to the printout. Satan was a real enemy to this congregation. But as horrific as the pagan persecution was, there was something happening to the church that was even worse than outside persecution. False doctrine was trying to develop inside the church. It was a spiritual disease being carried by members of the church. And if the infection was not stopped, Jesus knew it would spread to the entire church and affect the longevity of the church. Verse 14. But I have a few things against you. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to those in the church, Pergamum. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some among you who are holding very tightly. In fact, they just don't want to let go to the corrupt teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, enticing them to eat things that had been sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of sexual immorality. Look at that word, but. The word but means nevertheless. This verse could be translated, notwithstanding all of these wonderful things that I said about you to this point, I do have something against you, that you, in receiving false teaching, think it's all right to give worship to something other than God alone. I want you to make this note, if you will. This is the great sin of ingratitude. This is the great sin of ingratitude. And that's what compromise will lead to if you don't deal with it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of it. Remember that word repent? The word repent is metaneo in the Greek language, and it means a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. Let's go back here. Let's look at a question. Number one, what did Jesus have against the church in Pergamum? He says, I have. And I have means that Jesus Christ was personally disturbed by something. And what was it? It was the tendency to compromise. Compromise. That's what goes in the blank. Now listen very closely. Why do so many Christians compromise with the culture? Why do so many Christians compromise with the culture? Number one, because we have a tendency to indulge our own desires. Turn to 1 Corinthians, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If you are ever dealing with someone who is down and out, frustrated, disappointed, I want you to turn to this chapter, this book, and this verse. If you have someone who is contemplating suicide, wanting to take their own life, thinking if I do that, everything is going to get better, I want you to listen very carefully to what we're about to read. He says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to His Word. And you might want to underline that phrase. God is faithful to His Word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, He has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. All right? Now, there's a second thing, that is ignorance of God's culture. Why do so many Christians compromise with the culture? It is an ignorance of God's Word. Now, what has God said here? God says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, God says, be holy in all that you do. What does it mean? God says, be like Him. Have respect and have reverence toward the living God. All right, then there's a third thing. Why do so many Christians compromise with the culture? The third thing, there's a fear of being labeled. Now, most women don't have a problem with this at all. They're going to be who they're going to be, and if you don't like it, that's just tough. Get over it and get used to it. But men have a really bad problem because men can walk into a room where all of their buddies are and where they've been meeting together for a long, long time. And you know what? If he walks in and all of a sudden they sense there's a change about him, a transition is taking place, a transformation is taking place, and they say, "What's wrong with you?" Well, if a man is not careful, he'll kind of put aside what God is doing in his life at the moment in order to blend in once again with his old friends. I want to say to you, men especially, if God is working in your life, be glad he is. Because the change that will come will truly be a blessing to you and a blessing to all in your household and all that are around you. We need men that will admit that God is God. And I'm not going to compromise my Christianity or the work that God is doing in me at this very moment. And you know what? Then when you really suck it up and ask for the power of God to go to work, you're going to say, and you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I really like what God is doing in my life. And I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior if you haven't already. I promise you, you'll go to bed that night with a big smile on your face because God has blessed you. God has emboldened you, and God has given you the words that are necessary to be a witness for Him. It is a good feeling. It's the best thing that can ever happen to your life as a man. Now, and I know your wife will be standing right there to help you all the way, and that is a good thing. Now, why do so many Christians compromise with the culture? Here is the fourth thing. Misguided attempt to be relevant. A misguided attempt to be relevant. Now listen closely and I'll reread it. Why do so many Christians compromise with the culture? There's a misguided attempt to be relevant. We dress and speak in ways that are questionable. We dress and speak in ways that are questionable. All right, let's go back to the printout. I'm not going to get into that because I can get in trouble real quick, and I'm not in the mood to do that right now. All right, now, look at a question. Below the question at the bottom of the page, we have number two. Can spiritual leaders veer from the truth of God's word? What is the answer to that? The answer is yes, we can. You know why? Preacher's just human. The preacher is just human. So is the Pope, and so are priests. No one is infallible, not even the Pope. The Pope had a father. Through the father came the old sin nature. So therefore, he's as human as you. He's as human as me. He is in need of Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Now, let me go back to the word compromise for a moment. Here in context, in what we were just talking about, is the toleration of false teachers. I want to say to Hainesville Baptist Church, if you ever have false teaching in this congregation, don't sit and take it. Don't sit and receive it and play like everything is okay. If you have a false teacher up here teaching you at some time or another, then after he's done, deacons, you get with him behind closed doors and you tell him about the false teaching. And if he doesn't wish to change, then take him by the arm and escort him out the door. We don't tolerate somebody teaching stuff that is what? Contrary or contradicts the word of the living God. Because if it stays here and continues to be taught and preached, it's going to what? It's going to spread throughout this whole congregation. And the longevity of this church and how long it's going to exist depends upon how we deal with false teachers and how we deal with false teaching. All right? Please listen. So here in context is the toleration of false teachers and false teaching. A sort of have your cake and eat it too philosophy. Compromise is a life of lowering your standards. We've got enough of that coming out of the government in Washington. We need standards that need to be raised according to the Word of the living God. And we need those that are Christian in our Congress to stand up and raise the bar, to raise the standard according to the Word of the living God, and not step away from it, but be emboldened and say, we will not surrender again. We will not do anything to compromise here, okay? We're not going to compromise. We're just going to bring back what has been taken away. And that's why our Congress is so dadgum rotten today, because they believe they can perform without the living God, without His wisdom, and without His power, and without His direction. That is a lie that is straight out of hell. All right, let's go back here. So can spiritual leaders veer from the truth of God's Word? The answer is yes, they can. You know why? We just read it in Numbers chapter 25. They say actually about 23,000 Israelites were killed, and an added 1,000 were the leaders also that were brought into being killed because of the way they tolerated. So that's where we get that number right at 24,000 that I've read. All right. Now these spiritual leaders were suggesting that the church begin to compromise their faith in order to coexist peacefully with the world. Let me tell you something. I'm not going here to compromise the Word of the living God. And there's a lot of areas we could talk about. Let me talk about one called transgender. A lot of people say, Terry, what in the world is a transgender? Is it an it or what is it? Well, let me tell you something. You know what you've been hearing on TV about these guys that say, all of a sudden I woke up this morning and I'm a girl. Really? Okay. Now, so I'm going to race the girls in track. Okay. That's not fair, is it? You got a guy and a gal competing against each other right there. If you look up transgender, they have the same sexual desires. Let's just say you got a guy and he says, I'm a girl. Well, he wants to go in the women's locker room, okay? Now, when he gets in there, he's not going to act like this. He's got the same desires he had at a man. You understand that, don't you, Dwayne? Thank you. So he's going to look at every girl in the locker room and pick him one out, right? Okay. A transgender is not of God. He does not accept it. You need to understand it. God will not tolerate it or let it go or let society get away with it. Back to the printout. These spiritual leaders were suggesting, as many are suggesting today, especially in Congress, that seem to be running our country and have forgotten what they owe to their constituents. These spiritual leaders were suggesting that the church begin to compromise their faith in order to coexist peacefully with the world. Don't ever do that. In other words, just tone it down. Don't be so strict. Sometimes you have to go along to get along with the unsaved. That's what they say. If you do this, maybe the world won't view you as so obstinate and unyielding. Page 2. So what will compromise do to a church? I'll read it to you. What will compromise do to a church? Number one, it will cause loyalty to Christ to be relaxed. It will cause loyalty to Christ to be relaxed. Once again, we're not going to relax anything according to the Word of God. We're going to take it as it is, and it will be delivered as such. Number two, it will bring defeat to God's people. Here's a little side note. 24,000 graves, we just read, testify to the seriousness of compromise. 24,000 graves, we read about in Numbers 25. Testify to what? The seriousness of compromise. Number three, when people compromise their faith, they lose, number one, power for the Christian life and godliness. Secondly, they're going to lose holiness. What is holiness? It is a reverence and respect to the living God. Secondly, losing holiness is losing discipline. There's no longer any spiritual discipline to help you live the Christian life and walk according to the Word of the living God. Then you lose something else, intentionality. You lose a fixed mind. How can you compromise and fix your mind when you have one foot over here and another foot over here? Compromise does away with intentionality. With a fixed mind that gives you fixed thinking and fixed action and fixed direction. And there's something else. You lose a constant dependence on the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled is not an option. Be filled is not an option. It is a command. So every day God allows you to get out of bed and get up for His glory and His witness. You need to be controlled, divinely persuaded, divinely influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. If you do not ask God to fill you, that you may be controlled by the Holy Spirit, then the old sin nature will automatically take its place on the throne in your life. So if the Holy Spirit is not asked to get on the throne in your life, He won't do it. Who will do it automatically? It is the old sin nature that you have as a human being. People say, Terry, when I got saved, did I lose the old sin nature? No, you didn't. When you got saved, you still retain the old sin nature. That's why you have the ability to sin in your life as a child of God. And that's why we have 1 John 1:9. Now, 1 John 1:9 is not a salvation scripture. 1 John 1:9, we refers to a Christian. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So therefore, 1 John 1:9 is not a salvation verse. It is reference to a Christian who has sinned, and that's how he's going to get back in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you sin as a Christian, you don't lose the Holy Spirit. He stays in you, and He's going to convict you to confess your sin or sins unto the living God when they are committed in your life as a Christian. All right, now, please write this word, constant. Constant. When people compromise their faith, they lose a constant dependence on the Holy Spirit. Now, write the word constant. Can I ask you, how often do you breathe? How often do you breathe? Do you have to breathe all the time, every day? Okay. What if I said, you know what? I'm going to take a breath right now. But I'm not going to take another one until next week. Now, how long are you going to live? Not till next week. What do you think happens to you When you pray Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be divinely persuaded, divinely influenced, so you can be pleasing unto God. If you just did that once a week and wait till the next week, what is your Christian life really like? You need Ephesians 5:18 as much as you breathe air. If you don't, Christian, you'll be like a dead man walking. You say, Terry, well, I'm a Christian. Good. If you're a Christian, do you not know that you need the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life that is pleasing unto God? The power of Almighty God to overcome Satan and all the tricks and persuasive things he has in his bag? Yes. Ephesians 5:18, you might want to write it down if you haven't already. I need that every day like I need to breathe air every day, all day long. Even when I'm asleep, I have to breathe to exist. Do you understand? Man shall not live by bread alone. And man is going to have to breathe the holy word of God if he's going to stay alive and pleasing unto Almighty God. Are you, Christian, can be a dead Christian walking? Here's a little more. When people compromise their faith, they lose victory. When's the last time you had victory? When's the last time you got so excited because you won something, you conquered something, God did through you in the spiritual realm? Maybe what you have been compromising, God has delivered you, and it's no more a compromise. You can look at it, you can think about it, and it doesn't bother you one bit. For you now have victory in Jesus Christ, but if you lose that faith and compromise sets in, you lose in a battle with Satan. You will struggle. You'll get frustrated. You'll become disappointed. You'll wonder where the victory is. Think about it. Number five. We must walk in love. Did God hate the Nicolaitans? He hated what they taught, didn't he? He hated what they taught. I'll tell you what hit me here. Does God hate people, or does he hate their sin? So when I was sinning, God didn't hate me. Is that correct? He hated the sin. Is that correct? So when people say God should have hated the Nicolaitans, be careful. You might as well say, God, why didn't you hate me when I was living in sin? When I was compromising, why didn't you hate me? I expected you to hate them. Oh yeah, but they were teaching something, right? What were you teaching when you were living in sin? Don't get like the Pharisees. This is what's wrong with our country. And we'll get to it here in a moment. Number six, we must walk in love. That's number five. We must walk in love and holiness. We must also, lastly, live by a higher standard, and that standard is the Word of the Living God. Page two, very quickly. Page two of your printout, look at the word few. The word few describes something small in number. This means only a few had been infected by compromise, but it was beginning to multiply very rapidly. Here's the danger of compromise. We live in a day when people are tempted to compromise their faith and to modify what they believe because of the changing culture. Culture. You might want to write this down. A godless culture is planned and highly organized. A godless culture is planned and highly organized. What you see taking place in Portland, Oregon, do you think that just is happening? Or is it planned and highly organized? Thank you. Look at the word culture again. A godless culture consists of several things. Number one, rebellion. Defiance toward authority. We having that problem today? Yes. I heard something that kind of scared me. Somebody said, look at what they're doing up in Washington, D.C. The elites. Is there anybody that can put them in jail? Is there anybody that can go up to them and say, what you're doing is wrong? And you need to be in handcuffs? Where's the law? Are you saying you can do what you want in Washington, in Congress, and be free of someone coming to you and putting you in handcuffs and taking you to the jail, getting ready for the court? Can you just sin and break the law in Washington and get away with it? Seems like the answer is yes. So who's going to be the rider on a white horse that is going to come and say, I have come to bring justice. I have come to bring law. It has finally come to an end. And you would say to the Lord, I'm so glad. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. They can do what they want. If we were to do that, we would be put in jail. And you heard about the guy that says some things about Clinton. He got 10 years, or she did, 10 years. But it's okay for Democrats to say stuff about Republicans? I'm a gun-toting, Bible-believing, and whatever goes with it in a good way, and I don't care if they like it or not. Christians, must you learn to stand? Yes. Must you learn to be bold? Yes. It's coming. Then there's empty religion. What is religion? Man-made. The most damnable thing on the face of the earth, and it's going to send more people to hell than anything. Then there is injustice. You've got a belly full of that one, I know. Then there's godless leaders. How many preachers are going to run out the door when confronted by the government? When the government says, Haynesville Baptist Church, you've got to shut down. We don't like the truth that you're preaching because it exposes our lies. And we can't keep them on the plantation if you keep preaching the word of the living God. We've got them dumbed down. But the word of God will lift the veil. They know that. That's why it's a spiritual battle and a spiritual warfare between God and his righteousness and Satan and his darkness. Here's another. Excessive greed, lack of guilt. Did you hear about the four gals in Walmart? They stabbed a girl. Not here. One of them stabbed her in the heart. And the policeman down in Louisiana, he said, I talked to her and there was no guilt whatsoever. None. And they heard the girl say, I stabbed the bitch. And I'm glad. That was in Walmart. Where is mom and dad today? They say you can't spank your child. That's what's wrong with him. Wear his butt out. That's why it's padded back here. I didn't say beat them. I said discipline them and let them know what's coming. And it will come again. When you and I were growing up, we didn't fear the police. Now, understand me and stay with me. We feared more our daddy of what he was going to do when we got home. And that's why you didn't see this mess. There was a fear and a respect and a reverence in the family. And it was enforced as it should be by the father the majority of the time. Sometimes mom did it. Lack of guilt. Confusion over right and wrong. Why is there a confusion over right and wrong? Because they're not sitting under the study of the Word of the living God. God's Word is absolute truth and absolute reality, and that is never, ever going to change. And then there is arrogance. Arrogance. I'll set your store on fire. I'll break the glass. I'll go in and I will steal and be glad of it. Arrogance. We can call the National Guard to protect the Democrats. We can put up a high fence, but we want to take down the barrier on the border. You ready to fight? Are you going to lay down? Well, Terry, we're Christians. I understand that. But he said you're also salt and light. I had a Christian say, Terry, am I salt and light? I said, that ain't the question. It's what kind of salt and light you're going to be. And it's time to come out of the salt shaker, right, Johnny? And you're out. I know you are. I appreciate it. Somebody said, why do you give him a hard time? I said, number one, he needs it. Number two, I really like him. So there's a last thing here. A godless culture consists of what? Here's the last one. Cultural problems or people problems. Cultural problems or people problems. Problems. Deal with it as it should be dealt with on the streets again in Portland, Oregon. Clear the streets and do what you got to do to get it done. Shut it down. Black Lives Matter. I got news for you. Read your Bible. All lives matter in the eyes of God. Cultural problems or people problems? Very quickly. We live in a day when people are tempted to compromise their faith and to modify what they believe because of the changing culture surrounding them. Underline changing culture surrounding them. Here's another side note. Sometimes we compromise by thinking God's way is too hard or too boring are just too weird compared to the world. I'll reread that. Sometimes we compromise by thinking God's way is too hard or too boring or just too weird compared to the world. The mindset of society is changing, and what once was considered morally wrong is now completely acceptable. My friends, homosexuality is another one. I do not hate the homosexual. You know why I don't? Because Jesus doesn't. And I want you to understand something. You say, Terry, You know what you just said? I said, yeah. I used to be unsaved. Was I hated? Were you hated when you were unsaved by God? No. He hated your sin. Romans chapter 1. If you want to read about homosexuality, Romans chapter 1. You want to know why we have the diseases we have in sometimes? Man won't let go. Just keeps on and on and on and on. If someone says, you know what? I'm in that bracket. Would you help me? You invite them to church. They got a seat here. They need Jesus just like I needed Jesus and you needed Jesus when they were unsaved. And that's what we're here to do, not judge, but bring the loving gospel and the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. There is a mass modification taking place in the culture, but as believers, we are called to be different. We are not called to compromise in order to think and act like the world. The Word of God is unchangeable, and so must we be as believers. We must yield to the Word of God and the Spirit of God for the strength to stand. May Jesus Christ say to you, well done, you are one of my faithful ones. If there is a breakdown in your relationship with God, it is only a matter of time until compromises start making their way into your life, until you start lowering your standards here and there. Keep up your guard. Keep your guard up. Stay close to Jesus. Let the fire of the first love burn brightly, and you will be strong. I can't promise you will be sin-free, but you will have the power and resolve you need to live a life that is pleasing unto Almighty God. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the Word of God. We thank you for letting us know that compromise is not in your lifestyle that you have given. You are personally disturbed by it. You will act upon it before it infects the whole congregation, where it has started in a very small, infectious way. And if it is not dealt with, the false teachers and their false teaching, then you will come and deal with the longevity of the church. May we never hear in this church, this church no longer exists. Because they didn't confront false teachers and false teaching. And Jesus says, I had to close the doors. The infection was great. And it was time to stop it. Dear Heavenly Father, I would rather die than compromise. The Word of God and the Christian life. Help us all to be who you have called us to be. In Jesus' loving, saving, compassionate name, amen and amen.